My name is Mina Mongan and I'm an Irish traveller and I work at LGT. I'm a community engagement officer.
Hi guys, my name is Tracy Giles. I also work at LGT and I'm a community campaigner and I'm also a professional psychotherapist.
We are here today to talk about self-care. What is self-care among the traveller community, gypsy community?
Okay. First of all, I think it would be good just to talk a little bit about mental health and what mental health is before we look at self-care, because self-care obviously comes under, your mental health and your well-being. And I'd just like to say mental health is a positive state of our minds and body. It's a feeling that that we feel safe and able to cope and are able to communicate. So that's what mental health is in a nutshell. It's a positive thing. Ill mental health is the opposite. It's when someone has been diagnosed with a form of mental health illness. And for example, depression, anxiety is kind of really a common one that people get diagnosed with. So, you know, mental health is a good thing. It's looking at your state of mind and how you're coping. It's not a bad thing. So I just wanted to say that, because lots of people think that when we talk about mental health, we are talking about somebody that is very unstable and we're talking about people that can't cope, when actually your mental health and your well-being is a positive thing.
So we hope we're addressing it just a little bit to make people comfortable about speaking out.
What we're trying to do is we're just trying to give out information for the Gypsy and Travelling community, you know, little snippets of information to help people, to let people know that, you know, you're not alone. A lot of gypsies and travellers face a lot of prejudice and discrimination on lots of levels, you know, whether it be around their housing situation, whether it be around education, employment and health. We our community experiences a lot of prejudice and discrimination on those levels. So we are every day coping with all of that, and that does affect our mental health. But more recently, you know, in this pandemic, we have been, you know, isolated. A lot of us are, the majority of gypsies and travellers are probably isolating within family groups, multi-generational family groups. So we have our elderly to look after. We have our vulnerable to look after. We have our children and our grandchildren to look after. And seeing to everybody else's needs and not being able to address your own needs first will absolutely, you know, exhaust you and you will crash and burn. So that's why we wanted to talk a little bit about self-care and, you know, acknowledging that self-care is a good thing. It's not a selfish thing. It's whatever that as an individual we find or we do that helps us and supports us on a daily basis to just to protect ourselves and our happiness. You know, so it could be things like, you know, depending on the individual, it can be things like going for a walk or exercising. It can be things like cooking. Some people love to cook and they find that very therapeutic. It could be gardening. It could be treating yourself, arranging and having a little goal to look forward to once a week, a little treat, whether it's going to get your hair done or your nails done, you know, whatever the little things are that you like to do, that, you know, you have those little incentives to look forward to. Because if you don't look after your own mental health, you're not going to be in a good state of mind to look after the people around you who are going to be looking to you for support. But also, you know, if we can look after our own mental health, then, you know, we can have better connections with people.
As you're, like yourself, Tracy, as a mother, and we know, as I know from personal experience, I will leave my self-care to the back of my head. I will put my family, my friends, my neighbours first. Mothers always will put their, leave themselves at the back and think you're strong, you're coping. You know, you'll worry about the children's mental health and self-care and the elderly around you and your friends and family and yourself. Sometimes we need to take a step back and just look at ourselves as a human being. You know, you put everyone in front of you, but there's times when you just need that one friend, that one good friend that's worth, you know, this weight in gold that you just can have time out with and, you know, sit down and just talk about yourself. And talk about time's path and what life is today. And I think with a lot of families during the lockdown, that didn't really happen. It happened maybe among family that we were locked down with, your basic family, your husband, your kids. You spent more time together, you know, and you're 24/7 in the kitchen and kids was more around. You were doing more things, but you still wasn't helping yourself. You didn't take time out to have a one-to-one with someone. So I think as from traveler women, we always put everyone in front of us. With the traveler men, they inclined to, you know, put their hands and block it out, that being wrong. I know with my experience, I see that you're probably yourself is the same, Trace.
As a mother myself, and as I live in a multi-generational, tight-knit family community, and I have in the past very much exhausted myself, you know, trying to cut myself into so many layers to do this for that one, that for that one. And culturally, we do feel that we have to do these things as well, because, you know, you have to be, you know, looking after your elderly. You have to be looking after your vulnerable. You know, it's what you're brought up to do. You know, it's what you're raised to do. And but the thing is, you know, since I've done my trying to be a counsellor, the things that I've realised now, what I didn't realise before was that, you know, having good mental health is being able to communicate to one another, you know, and having that one good friend or that one person you rely on. It might be your partner, it might be your sister, it might be a cousin, it might be an auntie, or it might be somebody completely outside of your family group. But having, being able to have a connection with someone where you're able to communicate some of your true feelings is so, so important. And I echo that not just to the women in the community, but to the men as well, because we are seeing more and more, you know, particularly within the gypsy and travelling community, more and more suicide in young men. And, you know, if you could catch them before it got to that stage, if someone was there where people are able to communicate how they feel without feeling ashamed, because it's not shameful. In fact, a lot of people don't realise that it's the most courageous thing you can do as a human being, is to say how your true self, talk about your true feelings and be vulnerable and allow yourself to do that. That's incredible strength to do that. But yet we're not just gypsies and travellers, but I feel that, you know, as a nation, we have this stigma around, you know, oh, it's shameful to talk. You know, men don't cry, men don't talk, women don't show their feelings. You know, you've got to be strong, you've got to be strong. When actually it's the opposite. It's so, so important to talk. And it's so important to crave that, you know, carve that time out to have that conversation with, you know, whoever you feel you're able to have that conversation with. That's one thing. And the other thing I was going to say was, you know, around self-care. Self-care, if we don't look after our mental health as human beings, you know, irrespective if we're gypsies or travellers or not, just anybody in general, we will burn out, crash and burn. You know, and we all, you know, gypsies and travellers live in multi-generational communities. So we've got lots of children around us. We've got lots of young people growing up around us. And our children feed off of our behaviour. They learn from us. We teach them. It's all learned behaviour. They see things and, you know, within a community group, and they will be, you know, a product of us, because that's what they know in their family. And that's not just gypsies and travellers. That's all different groups and tribes out there. You know, that if you're born into a certain ethnicity or culture or race, you're going to have certain principles, certain values, certain rules, because that's how you was raised. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I notice is that, you know, when I look back over generations and I think about how elder people within my own family view mental health, you know, and the stigma that comes with it, people with mental health, you know, who had mental health issues years ago were deemed as being, you know, oh, they're stupid, they're mad person, keep away from them. When actually that's not the right way to approach it or to address it. You know, it's about supporting people, it's about supporting one another. And I think that, you know, if we have, as human beings, we can look after our own mental health and our own mental well-being, then the people around us will have a more positive experience of us, like our children and our grandchildren. That's true. You know, and then, you know, that gives them a better foundation for their life, because they think, well, you know what, my mum was great. She was able to communicate how she felt, and I'm going to go and talk to her, or I want to be like her. I want to be able to communicate how I feel. Yeah. I'm not going to bury it inside me. And then what I've seen, Mina, and you probably can identify with me on this, I've seen through COVID, I've seen more and more people from the Gypsy and Travelling community self-medicate. Now, that's not self-care. Self-medicate is completely different.
Yeah.
And it's where people, because this whole thing about being isolated and put in shutdown, and, you know, people can't go out to work and do their daily routine, and having the fear of, you know, is COVID going to affect our families, because we live in close-knit families.
Yeah.
You know, and it's bringing up so much for people. Yeah. People are suffering with anxiety, depression. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of domestic violence taking place, and people are self-medicating. So I'm seeing people drinking more than ever. I'm seeing people, you know, self-medicating with, you know, substance like drugs. All these things that are not, you know, that's all part of having poor mental health, because they're not not able to be vulnerable and say how they feel, or they can't express what's going on internally for them, because we're all walking around inside our own heads.
Yeah.
We all have our own internal frame of reference, how we think and how we feel. And, you know, you can make an assumption and a judgment on another person and thinking, oh, they're fine, what have they got to worry about? They're not living in their world. They're not living in their head. That's we don't know how they feel unless, you know, you're able to open up and say how you feel.
Yeah. Do you think as well, Tracy, it's carried through generations? You're brought up to just not speak about it?
Absolutely. And I mean, even within my own family, it's there's taboos, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's for men, there's shame.
Yeah.
You know, it's shameful for men to cry. It's shameful for men to say how they feel. And for women, it's the same. The women have got to be strong. They can't seem to be weak, because they've got to keep the home going, or they've got to look after all the children. They've got to be strong for the man.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's no good to either man or woman.
No. That's why the men is quicker to turn to drink and drugs, blanking everything out, thinking everything is okay. If I just have a few drinks, or if I take someone, you know, I turn to drugs, it'll make me function more.
Yeah.
I'll get over this. You know, women, by not speaking, maybe even taking up cooking and cleaning, what they're doing 24/7 all their life, they're bred into this generation of a woman in the home and cooking and cleaning. Like, there's only so much cooking and cleaning you can do. There's time you have to sit down as well and speak, have a chat with someone, have a true friend there that you can turn to maybe once a week, and you're not afraid to phone her up and just say, you know, this is how I feel today. How are you? Instead of having a bubble of friends and everyone, because it's not going to happen, having a chat, and you're afraid someone taking something out of that, you know, conversation, drop back, and you're looking weak. Having the one friend, you know, to just have time out once a week. But this is life. This is life. And I think the traveler community, I think they've come a long way, Tracy. Do you? I think that we've come a long way.
I do think we've come a long way. Yeah. And the younger generation are certainly recognizing that, you know, the way forward is some of these, and I don't want to sound an hypocrite, because I'm very proud of being a gypsy. You know, this is my culture, this is my way of life. But I've chosen, as I've got older, to change some of the things, the ways I was raised, because I see they're not serving me anymore. You know, I've got to think about my children going forward, you know, and going forward, life's changed dramatically for me in the last 25, 30 years. So when my children get to my stage, things are going to be even changed more. So I don't want to keep handing down those ways of where, you know, on one hand, it's nice to cling on to your cultural, beliefs, some of them. But on the other hand, we have to move forward, because if we want to maintain who we are, you know, and have hold our heads up high and say, you know, we're just as good as the next race or culture, there's some things we have to change. And Gypsies and Travellers are good at changing. We've been doing that for thousands of years. We've been adapting and changing because of the persecution we faced over the years. But I think some of those things that in terms of how you're raised within a family unit. I'm not saying all families, because obviously there are families out there that are really happy and do have good connections and are able to communicate and talk. But I would say there's a lot more families than there are families that are able to communicate, that can't communicate because of how we live. You know, we live in close-knit family groups.
Yeah.
And like you said, the men find it incredibly difficult because it's seen as a weak thing for a man to cry.
Yeah.
It's seen as a weak thing for a man to reach out. But yeah. Yet what people don't see, it's a weak thing for you to self-medicate and take drugs because yeah. It's kind of like an easy way out.
Yeah.
Because okay. If you open up, you know, as a man or a woman, if you open up and you're able to be kind of like reflective with yourself and bring yourself to say how you feel or what's going on, that takes, like I said, courage.
Yeah.
You know, so to allow yourself to be vulnerable to say how you feel is a very courageous thing.
Yeah.
But once you pass over that point, then you begin to realise, actually, you know, I feel better because I've said how I feel. You know, and there's an old saying, isn't there? A problem shared is a problem halved. And it certainly is, because the more you can talk about how you feel, the more you can say that how you feel, the more it won't be so daunting. It won't be, you know, overtake your life. You won't be suffering so much with anxiety or depression. And, you know, depression is a separate thing, because depression can come and go on people. And when it comes, you know, it's like a dark cloud that hangs over, you know, not just the person who's suffering with depression, but the people around them, their loved ones.
Yeah, that's so true. You know?
But it's how do we manage that? How do we cope? Yeah. That's the things that I think going forward as gypsies and travellers that we need to have more awareness about, you know, and how to cope, you know, what are the coping strategies? You know, it's very courageous to reach out and ask for help. It's very courageous to reach out and want to talk to somebody and show how you feel.
That's true.
You know, this is the things like self-care, like we were just saying, you know, self-care is different for every individual, but self-care is so important because, like, you and me, Mina, we both work. We do this work,
true.
You know, for gypsies and travellers. We're both juggling family life and other things in between. But we have to find a way to be mentally, you know, strong and to be able to sit here and have this conversation with one another.
Yeah.
We have to, you know, we're looking after our mental health because we're finding ways to cope.
Yeah.
You know, we're having our little conversations or chats with a good friend or it might be your partner or, do you know what I'm saying? So we're kind of, you know, we know that we have to take care of ourselves. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to do our jobs, not just as this job, but as being, you know, who we are within our family as parents and grandmothers.
And I find as well, Tracy, there's no shame in having a good cry. You know, people will not be seen as crying. Have a cry. You don't cry in front of anybody. But it's the best meditating you could ever do in your life is to have you just take yourself into a room and have a right good old cry. Cry your heart out. It lifts so much weight and stress, because I have done it many a time. The littlest thing might just put me off. Could have been 12 months ago since I had a cry, but I'd cry my heart out, and in between, when I'd come out of that room, I was 100% better for just
because you emotionally let go.
Yeah, that was,
you know, you didn't push it down inside, because that's the other thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what we do as human beings.
Yeah.
You know, if we don't address it, we bury it, we push it down inside of ourselves. And then what happens is that turns into something else. And then we'll do other things that might not benefit us, like addiction, or, you know, or get upset with other people and or be aggressive, because it will turn into something else if you don't deal with it.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah. So I'm really happy that we're having this conversation.
So am I.
Really. And I really, really hope that people listening can take, even if it's one thing away from this conversation, how they can stop and think in a day of how they need to look after their own mental well-being and mental health. And if it is taking 2 minutes to go and sit outside and have a cup of coffee on your own, or have a bath, or go for a walk, you know, whatever that little thing is, but having, if it's just 5 minutes in a day, if you can do one thing that's for yourself, that makes you feel happy, you know, and just, and little goals as well, you know, looking forward, thinking like, you know, I plan a little break or a holiday, that's an incentive that keeps me going, that keeps my family going, because we have that little thing to look forward to, you know, and this way the thing is, we're always going forward. We can't go backwards.
No.
A lot of us get stuck in the past. We carry that pain.
That's true.
And the thing is, the past doesn't serve us. You know,
no
what
way.
We take from that is we can learn from it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We can't carry it with us.
Yeah. Well, I just hope that this little video that we've made, I hope people find, when they sit back and listen to it, that they know that we're talking from the truth and from the heart.
Yes.
And that everything that's coming from our mouths, they probably have lived it as well. From being a traveler, they know what we're speaking is the truth. And, you know, let them just stay hopeful and stay positive and stay connected. But most of all, like, you know what I mean? No shame in having a good cry and reaching out for help.
We will not see as big
as population of the young youth then committing suicide, drinking drugs, and all that comes with people hiding their emotions.